We'll say one word on the upcoming Hag HaPesach. Shiavo Aleinu LeTova.
Amen, amen.
Zoom, okay, you want to get it?
Yeah, I get it.
You want to get it on the table over there. Yeah. Baruch Hashem, beautiful. That's it, we're good. Thank you, Halpon. Is that the Hashem? We'll set it up over here. Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo. Bingo. All right, Rabotai. Right of Shabbat, we'll say one word on the upcoming Hag. Amen. So we have Hag HaPesach. So they were metaken on Hag HaPesach to drink four kosot. We just actually read today in the Daf, Mazgulo Kos Shlishi and Kos Revi'i. We learned about the third and the fourth cups. But ultimately, we have to drink four cups on Lel Pesach, and everybody's Hayav in the four cups. And the question is, why are we obligated in Arba Kosot? What is the what's the reason behind it? So one of the famous things that they tell us when we're young is Kineged, the four Lishonot Shel Ge'ula, the four expressions, V'hotzeti, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakahti. V'hotzeti, I took you out, V'hitzalti, I saved you, V'lashon Hatzalah, V'ga'alti, I redeemed you, V'lakahti, I took you, which at first glance looks synonymous. You know, basically it's saying the same thing four times over. So it's semantics. And for each one of these, we have to have a cup of wine. So if I was making the tikkun, I would have said, listen, it's all the same thing. Basically, we're redeemed. Take one big cup at the beginning of the Suda, Rabotai, I want to make a toast. I'm going to drink one cup. Why? Because there's four different expressions that they want us to make for kosot shel yayin. Unless we have to say that lo re'izeh k're'izeh v'lo re'izeh k're'izeh, that the four expressions are actually not synonymous and they're not redundant, that each one is its own phase or stage in the redemption. Rabbi Mirsky brings down in his Haggadah, Igyonei Halacha, another question. His question is, why did they choose wine? Okay, well, they can't have beer, obviously, because it's Pesach. But why do they have to make Arba Kosot? Take today, coffee, by the way, is Hamar Medina. Let them go make a nice cold brew and have four cups of coffee. I don't have to stay up tonight to say that. Or a cup of juice. Why Davka wine? Interesting, he found the Maharal to answer it. So we'll say over the Maharal as well. Anyway, in order to understand this, we went back to what God told Avraham Abinu alav shalom in Brit Bin HaBetarim, because that's when all of the prophecy of the Galut begins, when God speaks to Avraham Brit Bin HaBetarim. And God says to Avraham Abinu the following, Ki ger yehiye zar'acha be'eretz tov lahem, that your children are going to be strangers in a foreign land. Doesn't tell him Egypt. He says be'eretz tov lahem, which interestingly, there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Yaakov Berav. Rabbi Yaakov Berav was the rabbi of Maran, of Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he says that actually that's Mitzrayim. Because if you remember, Yosef as Sadiq bought the land of all the inhabitants. So basically, the land belonged to the government. So it says, "Ki ger yizaracha be'eres lo lahem," and an eres that does not belong to the inhabitants, which is Egypt, because Yosef bought, right? Eres lo lahem. It's an eres that doesn't belong to the people; it belongs to the government. So therefore, that's an emes to Mitzrayim. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and there's going to be certain things that are going to happen over there. Number one, ba'abadum. Number two, ve'innu otam. 400 shana. There's going to be avodah. You're going to be slaves. And not only is there going to be slaves, but there's going slavery. There's going to be also what's called inui.
Hard labor.
Inui is torture.
Torture.
Then we torture, and then it says, but don't worry. Baharichen yetsu, and then God predicts and says, but don't worry. There's going to be yitziah. Baharichen yetsu. There's going to be an exit. You're going to leave. So in that pasuk we see three different phases or stages of what's going to happen. There's avdut, there's inui, and there's yitziah. Those three items did not happen simultaneously. They happened over time. And therefore, after each one of these phases was complete, that alone is called for celebration. Because each one alone is a simcha, is a standalone simcha. If you look at the first of the four kosot, it says, V'hotzeti etchem mitahat sivlot mitzrayim. Sivlot mitzrayim means the burdens and the tortures of Egypt. That means the first phase was the inui stopped. That which God told Abraham, v'abadum v'inu otam, there was no more inui. Now, you have to remember, Rabotai, they tortured us mentally and physically. Building buildings on quicksand is a psychological torture. At least the worker has satisfaction, he built something. But after he builds it and he sees it crumbles to the floor, and then they tell him, build it again, knowing good well the same thing's going to happen, the person go crazy just from the psychological torture. They gave the men's job to the ladies. They gave the ladies' job to the men, which demoralizes them. So Paro was with Ashai, went after our bodies and our brains. And therefore, the inui, at a certain point, they said, no more inui. Like in Siberia, they used to have a torture. They used to put the guy behind the wall,
yeah,
and they tell him, grind the wheat. And he's grinding the wheat for 18 years. They say, okay, at least I'm feeding the poor people in Russia. After 18 years, then you can leave. But I want to show you what's on the other side of the wall. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
The guy would go crazy. It means he was peddling for 18 years, doing nothing. That would kill the guy before he left. It means he would lose his mind. That was Paro. So you see, V'otzeti etchem mita'at sivlot Mitzrayim. That's a key item. By the way, I left my cup to that. L'chaim. Kos Rishon, mafi sivlot. Mafi enu. But God told Abraham also, va'abadum. They're going to be slaves. That means they're going to be slaves without inui. It seems that there's slavery and there's inui. Two separate things. What's the second phase of the galut? V'tzalti etchem me'avodatam. The second phase was, we weren't slaves anymore. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that in the Tishri, before we left Egypt, between 6 months before we left Egypt, we got our freedom papers, you're not slaves anymore. There was no more Avdut. So therefore, the second cup is actually a tremendous cup. We're thanking God, not for the same thing we said for the first cup. The first cup is saying, thank God, no more agony. But the second cup says, there's no more avodah. We're free. Yeah, but you're still in Egypt. So therefore, va'abadum ve'inu. Those are two different items. And then what does it say? Va'arechen yetzu. You see, before that, we were still in Egypt. So it's very nice that we're not working anymore, but Paro's not letting us go. No exits. Which if a Jew wants to leave the country, they stop them at the border and they send them back to Egypt. Now, that's a torture in itself to a certain degree, that you have no traveling rights. We have to come back to Kennedy to make us sign a paper where you are. We go crazy. That's a torture. So could you imagine now where they don't let you out of the country? So therefore, the pasuk comes along and says, "Vega'alti etchem." That's the third stage. "Vega'alti," you're free. Leave. "V'harichen yetzu." So you see that exactly what God told Avraham Avinu, "V'abadum," "V'inu," "Yetzu," all happened in Mitzrayim. We had inui, we had avodah, and we had incarceration. And all those three things came to an end. V'otzeti etchem mitat sivlot Mitzrayim, v'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam, v'ga'alti etchem. The question that we came to ask today, Rabotai, is, what can be after Geula? Which means, what could be the fourth? If a guy's in Siberia, and the guy's being tortured, and they tell him you're not tortured anymore, and you don't got to work anymore, here's your papers, get up and leave, you go to Miami Beach. You're free to go. I said, he's free. What could be after that? You're free. Which means, the fourth cup really needs the analysis over here. Because you have galti. Once you get out of jail, that's finished. That is the ge'ula. What do we need, or what is the symbolization, or I made up that word. What does the fourth cup symbolize? What is the... See, I have a right to make up words because people trust me already. No, people trust me. It must be a word. But sometimes I get emails. I looked at it. There's no symbolization. There's no such word as that. Okay. You'd be surprised. I get away with it. I throw it in there. It slipped in. Then you hear a guy using it. So he's using my word that I made up. That's okay. That's the leverage that I have. But nonetheless, what does the fourth cup symbolize, Rabotai? That's the big she'ela over here. The Maharal says beautifully, based on what we just said, that that's why we're drinking wine. Because wine is the only beverage that when you drink it, it changes the person. You're not the same person after one cup, after two cups certainly after three cups. So we're drinking wine to symbolize that each phase of the Geula was a change. There was a change in us. We weren't the same people. So then by drinking the wine, it's kiilu yatzam mitznayim. You're making a physical change in your mahut. And that was a long talk, but that's his yesod. You're drinking a beverage. That it sounds like that mitz anavim would not do the trick. Chavra, at least you put some wine in there just to get a little, shinui, just to be a little heighted. Okay. So now, really the analysis that we came today to discuss is the sod, of course, the V.A. And, by the way, we don't see anywhere by Avraham Avinu a remis to Kosev V.A. We just see, Ba'abadum ve'innu ve'alechen yetzu. But kind of the air, there's got to be a fourth phase over here. And if the template is Avraham Avinu, which, by the way, according to last night, you will understand another reason why Pesach is connected to Avraham. Because the Pesach was actually originally predicted by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had the blueprint of Pesach before anybody. He knew already the whole program. So Pesach connected Avraham, because he's the one that had it. What's the sword of Kosev Revi'i? So we once explained the following. That the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says that when we got the Torah, so the Torah was actually chiseled on the tablets. The Pasuk says, Harut ala luchot. Harut means it's chiseled. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, Al tikre harut, ela herut. Don't read it harut. Read it herut. Herut means freedom. Lelamidcha, to come and teach you. She'en lecha ben horin, ela mi she'osek batorah. A big hadush here. The Mishnah is saying a tremendous hadush. Ben horin, freedom, it's not the inyan that you're free from something. We would always define freedom from. I'm free from this. Therefore, it's a release of responsibility.
Like getting out of jail.
Exactly. That's normal juvenile way of explaining freedom. Freedom from. I don't got to do this anymore. I'm free. A kid in school in June. Remember, we used to say, Dave, no more pencils, no more books. Fine, we used to run out of there. Hazak Baruch. And what does it say in the Hazal? When they left from Har Sinai, it says, Kitino kaboreya mebet asifir. Like, yeah, that's the Gemara's Mashal. The kid is free. Kitino kaboreya mebet asifir. Like a child that runs away from the Bet HaSefer. They had to say a child because the only one that runs faster than the child is the teacher from the Bet HaSefer. That's it. We weren't as bad as the teachers. We didn't run that fast. The teacher already, you can't wait to run. They asked once the teacher, what's the best part of teaching? He said the two best parts of teaching is July and August. That is when they're not teaching. In any event, you see over here what? You see Freedom from is the normal way we understand freedom. I don't have to do this over here. You're exempt. You're patur. Beauty. Freedom is understood in the secular world. Freedom to do what you want to do. No restrictions, no all, no yoke, no burden, no instruction. I'm free as I want. Like they say in America, free as a bird. To do as you want. However, the Mishnah Perkei Avot is changing our whole understanding of this over here. There's no such thing as freedom from. Freedom really means freedom to. Freedom to means freedom to live according to a purpose. Freedom to do what you were meant to do. Freedom to... A machine is considered free when it's working, when it's fulfilling its objective. The poet Tabor once said, I have a violin string. It's on the table. It's free. But it's not free to do what a violin string was made to do, play music. I take the string and I put it in my violin and I tighten it on both ends. Now the violin string is free. So you see, freedom is not just lying on a table doing nothing. You cut out for the purpose. You can't play music like that. So sometimes you have to tighten both ends, which might be a little uncomfortable, but now you can play music. So it's freedom from must always lead to freedom to. Therefore, the first thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us when we came out of Mitzrayim, 2 weeks before we left, God says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. What does he mean to say? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. I didn't know that months have owners. A month is a calendar. The calendar belongs to everybody. What does it mean over here? I didn't know in my portfolio of assets, I have some gold, I have some silver, I have some stocks, and I also have chodesh. Chodesh hazeh lachem. Lachem, lachem usually is ownership by lulav, what do we say? Ulkahtem lachem. Lachem shelachem. From there we learn it has to be yours. Ulkahtem lachem. Chodesh lachem. Let's say, chodesh hazeh Rosh Chodashim. What's the lechem shebo? The Baalei Musar say that in Egypt, amongst the things that we did not have, obviously, a pleasant time in Egypt. But the main thing that the Egyptians took from us was our time. The time of a slave does not belong to himself. He has no time. His time is subjugated to his master. A slave cannot come along and say, I need 5 minutes. You don't have 5 minutes. 5 minutes don't belong to you. You cannot tell your master, well, I have some errands to do. I'm taking off Sunday. Sunday doesn't belong to you. Your time is constricted or conscribed to the master. He tells you, you can't say, I'm sleeping late today. No sleeping late. You wake up and the master tells you to wake up. And if you're dead tired, it doesn't matter. You go to sleep when he tells you to go to sleep. And if he wakes up in the middle of the night, nobody means, don't you wake up in the middle of the night? Your time belongs to me, you have no time. What happened when we came out to Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the first thing I'm giving you back, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. What is a month made out of? A month is made up of days, of hours, of minutes, of seconds. That's what a month is made of, the ingredients of a month. God says, starting from Nisan, the year 2448, starting from this Chodesh, your time is being returned to you. The time now belongs to you. That's the asset that we got, which is the greatest asset that we have in our portfolio, that we have our time. Now the question God says is, how are we going to occupy this time that I just returned to you? No more are you going to occupy it with Havel HaBalim by building buildings and working for Par'o and doing Avodat Parech, which has no purpose and no direction. Now God says, now that you have time back, we have to figure out a way how to occupy this time. Now you have to be very careful, Rabotai. Because the Halakha says, time is a great asset, but time is a great liability. When you have too much of it, so therefore the Gemara says that it could lead to Shi'mum. Shi'mum is what? Immorality. That idleness leads to immorality. When people are bored, have nothing to do, they get into trouble, mischievous behavior, they get into all sorts of crime. We know that the crime rate in this country always rises in the summer when the kids don't have school. That time is unoccupied. And therefore, what ends up happening? They get into trouble. And therefore, it's not enough for God to come along and say, you're free. You now have 24 hours, belongs to you. If that was all God would have told us, it would have been a catastrophe, Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim would become one of the greatest national tragedies. They have a whole nation that has 24 hours and nothing to do. And we would call that freedom. Yeah, that's freedom from, but freedom to do what? Many years back, there was a promotion by the government, say no to drugs. And it was a failed campaign. Remember on the TV, they said, say no to drugs, say no to drugs. And they realized that the problem was that they weren't not giving the children what to say yes to, which means say no, okay, we're stopping drugs. What are you doing all that time? They spent half the day taking drugs. Now you got to give them something else. So Clinton came along, Alav Shalom, and he did what? He said, we're going to open up the gyms in the middle of the night. Remember, they opened up the gyms in New York at 12 o'clock at night? Night leagues for basketball. And he got all the kids, instead of using the energy to take drugs, they would have these leagues over here. The lesson over here is, just to give somebody back free time is not necessarily an item. So God's the Chodesh HaZeh Lechem, it's got to be a follow-up. Oh. What's the follow-up? Borei Olam says, and this is a big, big trivia question. If somebody would ask you, when did we stop being abadim? At what point of the Geula did we stop being abadim? And the answer is never. Never. All we did is change bosses. It says in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, abadim hayinu lefaro. That was our first boss. At the end of the Haggadah, after the Geula, what does it say? Hallelujah, hallelu avde Adonai. We're still abadim. It's just we're Avdei Hashem and we're not Avdei Paro. Abdut didn't change. It's just that who you're working for. Borei Olam says, your time belongs to you. I'm going to fill your time up now. I have other items that I want to fill your time with. And this is purposeful items. This is items that will get you to a destination. This will get you to Olam Haba. Now you'll be free to live according to a goal. Freedom means to do not what you want to do, like a child would say. Freedom is to do what you're supposed to do, what you're obligated to do. We all would agree that if you see a drug addict in the street, he looks free. He's laughing, he's rolling in his joy, in his fantasy land. But we say to the guy, miskeen, the guy is a slave to his desires. The guy can't control himself. He wakes up in the morning, has to shoot drugs at his system. His taskmaster is his drug. He's not free. You see another guy get out of bed in the morning. It's difficult. He comes to the yeshiva, has a daf yomi, has his coffee, sitting and learning. And he prays. He gives tzedakah. He goes to make some money. He comes back from it. Guys, look at the guy. Why? Because he's living according to a purpose, to a regimen. God said, Mitzrayim taught you discipline. Now you're disciplined? Now instead of being disciplined to do nonsense, use that discipline in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Torah mitzvot. And therefore, the third cup, the way we explain, represents Geula Gufani, freedom from, which is very important, by the way. You cannot get the freedom to until God frees you from the enemy. You got to get out of the shackles of Paro. Okay, freedom from, but if it's not followed by freedom to, then Yitziat Mitzrayim would have been a tragedy. 3 million people, they have all the time in the world to do what?
Watch football.
Exactly, watch football. Right? Which means to get into trouble. If I may secularize this dirash for a second, just for the sake of, yeah, just to make it a little, hey, for the people that like secular stuff. Many years ago, if you remember, Chabaruch would never call it a television, he called it the box. If you remember, on the box, it used to be a program. Now, today, the program would have been not necessary because we have internet. So today, you could Google everything and see everything that you want, wherever it is. But in those days, you didn't have access to anything. So nobody knew how the rich people live. So they had a show, the lifestyles of rich and famous people. And it was an unbelievable thing. I see Baruch Hashem. I see we have Biki'im over here. Baruch Hashem. We have Biki'im. So I'm also Becky. This is why those days it was a salivating item because they would take you private to Beverly Hills. You never had access to it. They show you the guy, and he started with his driveway. He has a whole line of cars. Over each one, another luxury car. But you never saw those cars. In fact, there's three, four of them. walked to the house. Need sefat bad vashesh vedar vesoharet vashkot bechlezav mikanim mikanim shonim v'yen malchut rav kadam melech. You can't believe it.
We didn't get to the backyard yet.
The backyard, pool, tennis court, jacuzzi, and you're looking at this, and they're telling you how much it costs, or how they, then they take it to the roof, there's a heliport, what? The guy gets his ass with a heliport, and your people are watching it, and they tell you, stay tuned next week, if you thought this is an item, wait, and they give you like a little preview, and say, what? This is even better than the last, and they're just watching it one week after the other, and the people are going berserk, that you're getting an inside view of the lifestyles. Rabotai, I was young. I want to tell you about an experiment that I did. I could show you the results, but you did. I went and I did Shada Gilgulim, and I did all, not all, many of the homes that they showcased. And then I went, because the show didn't do this. This is my show. And I went to find out, because they were just showing you the bricks and mortar. But I wanted to know the people that lived there. And I did the experiment, and I came out with the following. As lavish as their lifestyle was, that's as miserable as their lives were. This guy committed suicide. The other guy divorced 16 times. The other guy, his kids are all in jail. The other guy's in drug rehab for the fourth time. The other one running with the law. Every guy had a more chabe av life. So I came to the conclusion that although the lifestyle was very, very, you know, luxurious, however, it did not have a good impact on the life. That's why they didn't show the lives of the rich and famous, because that would have been a miserable, that would have been a horror film. If they did the lives, they did the lifestyle. Lives of rich and famous, they would have to, I mean, forget about it. They would tell you, please beware. This is you're gonna get bad dreams if you watch this over here. Lifestyles, nice, but they covered up the lives. Because you see what this type of freedom. They're free to do all the money in the world, all day long, doing nothing.
Rabbi.
And, wait, give me a second for a second. Okay, you tell me another TV show?
No, Ham Yom Tov.
Oh, tell me something.
Some people, they have kesef, they talk about all. Other people have kesef.
100%, 100%. This over here, it was a big, big success, but it was a hoax.
It was a hoax.
Because they didn't show you that this brought to this. And if the people would have saw what it led to, you would have said, you know what, very nice, but... Not to me. I'd rather stay in my little apartment over there with my broken...
That's
what I do. Now watch this. And you can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. But I want to start a new TV show. Maybe I have some investors over here. I'm going to make lifestyles of the tzaddikim. But not lifestyles. Lives of the tzaddikim. We'll take a video crew, Dave. We'll go to Bnei Berak. We'll start with Chaim. We'll take them up his rickety staircase where when you hold on to the bars, you get the rust on your hand. Your hand is rusty. It takes you 3 days to get the rust off your hand from the bar going up. Yeah. Then you get in there, you open the door, it creaks. It creaks like the Haunted Mansion. Remember the Haunted Mansion, Long Branch? It creaks. The Haunted Mansion. Then when you walk in, there's a hole in the ground. There's a hole in the ground. You got to walk around the tiles, the balatot, and you get there, the light bulbs are just hanging loosely. No fixtures, no nothing. Swimming pool? Bezori has a kitchen sink. You want to ride a swimming pool? You go into his bedroom, just a bed, the plainest bed with the simplest sheets. Stender, that's it. And there's the happiest guy alive today. The happiest guy alive. So you see what? Why is he happy? Because he's occupying his time with Torah, which just brought him to what? To inner freedom, because you're living according to purpose. You're living according to a higher order. So therefore, just to tell a guy... You retire at 50 years old, do whatever you want, gallivant, you have all the money, go, enjoy. This is a leading to Chas v'Shalom, a disaster. Therefore, Ge'ulah, cup number 3, very important. You can't get to cup number 4 unless you get to cup number 3. Cup number 4 represents, V'lakachti etchem li le'am. That's Matan Torah, I'm going to give you the book now. Now take your time back and give me 50 days, I'm going to give you a new regiment. I'm going to give you a new diet. I'm going to give you a new lifestyle. And this lifestyle over here is going to make you happy. It's going to make you complete. And you're going to have beracha. Based on this, Rabotai, we said, based on the Ramban. Unbelievable Ramban. Rabotai, this Ramban over here is incredible Ramban. Ramban says that we have the holiday of Shavuot. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, Rabotai. We didn't get to Pesach. Already Rabbi's talking about Shavuot. That's what we do.
7 weeks.
Yeah, it's right here, before you know it. Shavuot is called in the Torah Atzeret. Good. Strangely enough, the most important holiday of the year, Matan Torah, is only one day. It's a one-dayer. Pesach is a 7-dayer. The Ramban says we have another holiday that's called Atzeret. And that is what? Shemini Atzeret. Oh, so you see that which holidays are called Atzeret? Holidays that come after 7 days, the eighth day is called Atzeret. The Ramban says the eighth day of Pesach is Shavuot. Pesach commemorates the Geula Gufanit, but if it's not followed up by a Geula Ruchanit, by a Matan Torah, you don't have it. So therefore, he learns that it's 7 days, then you have a preparation, which he learns the Omer is actually Chol HaMoed. And then after Chol HaMoed is over, Atzeret. It's the eighth day, which means Pesach and Shavuot are the only regalim that are linked to each other. Why do we link it? We link it through a bridge called Sefirat HaOmer. Because if Pesach is not followed up by Shavuot, then Pesach would not be a holiday. Pesach would be a national tragedy. We'd come along and say, what did you do, Nazkan? You gave us all this time back. You freed us into the Midbar.
That's why you can't drink another cup.
Hazak Baruch. That's today's daf. That's today's daf. That's why the Mishnah says that you could drink extra cups. Now, who in their right mind wants to drink an extra cup on their Pesach? That's another discussion. We have to talk to our friends at Safe. If anybody wants to drink an extra cup on their Pesach, they got a problem. Exactly. That's 4 cups is enough. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, we learned in today's Mishnah, but between cup 3 and 4, you're not allowed. Why? Because, yes, and 1 and 2 also, Kota Rashbam. Which means, I would explain it like this. There's really not 4 cups, Rabotai. I would say it's 3A and 3B. And therefore, cup number 3 and cup number 4, it's 2 sides of the same coin. So therefore, you cannot mahalik between Geula, Gufani, Guharafri. If there's a hefsek in between, then Hadashom can be dire. Therefore, it has to become back to back. Pesach is commemorating both items. Based on this, Rabotai, we see over here a tremendous, tremendous concept. Tremendous concept. It's mamash against the intuition that we would have. Intuition, it's counterintuitive, as they say. People think the kids, freedom, I don't got to do nothing. You're wrong. Rav Gifta Alev Hashem said the most beautiful hadush that I love to say over. Yamara comes along and says, anybody that doesn't study Torah, it's like a fish out of water.
But not living.
He didn't say that. It says like a fish out of water. Okay, well, Ralph Gindi is the son of our good friend Sam Gindi.
Yes, right.
I'm not obligated to explain Ralph's statements. I'm explaining now the Talmud statements. The Gemara says that it lavdil. It's a fish out of water. So my Gifta asked, why not a giraffe without oxygen? I mean, any animal that does not have its sustenance is going to die. But you gave the mashal fish out of water. It's a good mashal too. They explained unbelievable. He said, because if you never went fishing, some of our members go fishing, if you never went fishing before, you wouldn't know it. That you would think when you take the fish out of the water, it looks more alive when it's out of the water than when it's in the water. Ever see a fish when you take it out of the water? It's thrashing against the side of the boat. It's jerking the pole up and down. The guy has to get the help over there. They got to bring him on. They're holding him onto the boat. When it was in the water, they don't even know it's there. So somebody who doesn't know anything about fish would say, wow, that fish, wow, mashallah, it's really alive. Says Rav Gifta Tipesh, the more it jumps around, the more it's closer to its death. He says, a person that's not learning Torah, it looks like he's alive. He's at the parties, he's dancing, he's jumping, he's traveling, he's going. If a guy wouldn't know, he'd say, wow, that guy's really alive. He's, no, he's like a fish out of water. That all that energy that he's expending is actually a sign that he's closer to his death. And that's exactly what happens when a person does not have Torah. When a person does not have Torah, it looks like he's free. The lifestyle ultimately leads to a miserable life. It has to be like that because he's depriving his neshama from the nutrients that it needs. Just like we know there's a vitamin C deficiency called scurvy, and there's anemic people who have a deficiency in iron. People don't have enough sun. They have a deficiency for vitamin D. And therefore, if somebody does not have spirituality, his neshama is being deprived. It's malnutrition. And as a result, it cannot bring him to happiness. It cannot bring him to completion. So therefore, cup number 3 and cup number 4 are linked to each other. And therefore, I would say the cup number 4 is the key. Cup number 4 is the key. Like Adil can be le'am. Based on this, Rabotai, Rabbi Mirsky says in Haggadah, beautiful Hiddush. He said, why is it on the Lil Seder? We have 2 tafshilin. We just looked at the Masechet. 2 tafshilin. So the Gemara says you can use Aroza, Vesilka. Gemara allows us to use anything for 2 tafshilin. Tosfot says the custom is to use a betza, an egg. One reason why we use an egg is because we know that the night of Pesach and the night of Tisha B'Av always will fall out on the same night, which is this year Tisha B'Av must be on a Saturday night. which means they always come out on the same So we're miramez that Motzei Shabbat is going to be Shabbat. And therefore, we hope that we won't have to have Shabbat. We hope the Beit HaMikdash will be built. But in the meantime, we have an egg to commemorate. Why we can't bring Pesach, Korban Pesach, why we don't bring Hagigah? Because of the Korban Beit HaMikdash, Shabbat. But the Mefarshim say over here, beautiful. Why an egg? So Mirsky writes from the Tzaddikim that normally when an animal is born, a cub is born to a bear, what happens? It's born, Simatov, a baby boy. Let's hear, Simatov Ben Balanu. Mashi'enkin, when a chicken gives birth, what happens? First it gives birth, it lays the egg. And then 30 days later, you start to hear the pecking on the shell, and all of a sudden what happens? The chick emerges, which means it's a double birth. The first birth is the egg coming out, and then the second birth is the emergence of the chick. That's what happened in Mitzrayim. There was a double ge'ulah. First, we emerged out of Mitzrayim. We came out, but we were still confined. We're still like an egg in the shell. We're free from the mother's womb. You're right, that was very, very confining. But we're not free yet. Then there was a second ge'ulah. The second ge'ulah is when the chicken burst from the shell itself. Now you're free to do what you're supposed to. You're free to live according to a higher order. You're free to live according to the Torah law. Based on this, Rabotai, we can understand now, we go back to Avraham Avinu. God should have told Avraham Avinu about stage 4. All he tells them is, Va'abadum. They're going to be slaves. Ve'inu otam. 400 shana. Va'harechen yetzu. But he has to tell them the main item. The main item is Hasir ben Hasefer. So he once explained it, that you have to know that God said to Bnei Yisrael, to Avraham Avinu, they're going to leave Birchush Gadol. Everybody said, Birchush Gadol,
money.
Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm not against the money either. I explained it also like that. But I just want to ask you, you're a businessman, you know better than me. How much is Birchush Gadol?
Depends on the person.
You're the best answer. You're the only one that answered that question correctly. I asked that question to hundreds of people. The answer, 40 million, 50 million. What are you getting baited into that answer? Why 40, not 42 million? The answer is, it depends who's talking. Which means, if Bill Gates or Slim Helu, he gets up and he's, if he gets, you know Slim Helu? No, Slim Helu in Mexico. The richest guy. Carlos Slim Helu, richest guy in Mexico. I know him from Moisés. He was Moisés' friend. Yeah, I was talking about he was friend with him. So anyway, what happens is, if a guy like that's talking, and they tell him, Mr. Slim, hello, what do you think about that guy? He said, that guy? Very rich. Now for him to say very, the guy's worth $100 billion. So for him to say very rich, that means the guy is, he's up there, the billion, the multi-billions. He's not going to say very rich. Now, if you have an ani that comes home to his wife, he says, wow, you don't know, we made a lot today. That means the guy gave him a $20 bill. To the ani, just getting pennies and quarters. One guy was a good guy. Yeah, he gave him a $20 bill. And he asked him for change. He may believe he didn't hear that he wanted to change. He ran out, he took the $20 bill. He comes over and says, hey, I have rechush gadol. So it's all relative who's talking. I want to ask you a question. When God says, v'arechin yitzu berechush gadol, what can rechush gadol mean to God? La'ashem ha'aretz umlo'ah. God's koneh hakol. He owns everything. So what can impress God that he says, oh, rechush gadol. What's rechush gadol to God? To God who owns everything, nothing can be rechush gadol. Ela, from there we see it must not be talking about a monetary item. Because there's no way God can say rechush gadol. God's not impressed by rechush gadol. Ela must be something that's above this world. What's the rechush gadol he was talking about? Matan Torah. And I have a proof for it grammatically. Because the word gadol is not the right word for rechush. A lot of rechush is rechush harbeh. Rechush. Hazak baruch. Gadol. That's right. I'll tell you the difference between gadol and harbeh. Harbeh is a quantitative word. Gadol is a qualitative word. Like we talk about a great rabbi. What do you say? Oh, he's a gadol. Mazeh gadol, qualitative. We're talking about the guy's waist size. Yeah. We're talking about over here the quality of the person. If I say, oh, yes, for harbeh. No, harbeh is quantity. So the Kalanef God was talking about the quantity of money. It should say, v'arekin yesu b'rechush, rav, or b'rechush harbeh. The fact that it's in the rechush gadol tells me that God was saying it's a qualitative rechush. What can be a qualitative rechush? Must be that was God telling Abraham there's going to be a Matan Torah. That's the fourth cup. V'arekin yetzu, that's kos shilishi. B'rechush gadol, that's kos nevi'i. And therefore it's got to go together. Yetzu b'rechush gadol. There has to be a connection between that. And that's the whole primacy of why Torah is not just a subject that we study. Torah Adonai Timima Mishivat Nafesh. Torah brings a person to Mishivat Nafesh to it's a sedative, a serenity, to peace, to Mishivat Nafesh. It gives a person a certain type of calmness. David HaMelech said, "Lulei Torah Techa Sha'ashu'ai Azavati Be'oni." The Torah is like an elixir. It's a medicine. Hash Berosho Ya'asuk BaTorah. Torah is a medicine. Is what? It brings the freedom to the person, not freedom from, but freedom to what he's able to accomplish. And that's the whole yesod of cup number 3 and cup number 4. And they're not redundant. On the contrary. And that's a great lesson. V'haborek en bomayim. I'll tell you one more anecdote. When I used to teach the boys, the young boys, so you used to get a lot of resistance from the parents. Very little compliments from the parents, I'll tell you that much. But resistance we received a lot. I turned all these kids into religious boys. The parents very rarely thanked me for what I did for the kids, but very, very often they had claims. One parent came to say, "Hey, you teach my kid too much Torah. Hey, classes this night, that night, the morning, the night. Hey, go slow down." So I told him, I said, "Listen, you have nothing to worry about." And I gave him the following mashal. There was a lady who took this kid to the doctor, and the doctor does the diagnosis and says, "Okay, the kid needs medicine. Let him take this medicine, 1 teaspoon a day for 10 days. You got the instructions? I got the instructions. Okay, go to the pharmacy and go pick up the medicine." Pick up some medicine. The lady looks at the thing, "Take 1 tablespoon. He says, "The pharmacy made a mistake. It says 1 tablespoon. I heard the doctor say 1 teaspoon. Okay, so he gives it 10 teaspoons, 10 days, the kid's still sick. Comes back to the doctor. "Doctor, I did everything you said." "What do you mean everything you said? And what's the matter? The kid's not bad, he's still sick. What did you give?" "I gave the kid 1 teaspoon like you said." "I told you 1 teaspoon. What did it say on the Torah Shebichtav? What did it say on the label?" "1 tablespoon. I figured you made a mistake." "You don't listen to me. You know, kids spit out half the medicine. So we're giving them a tablespoon, they'll end up with a teaspoon. But you gave them a teaspoon, they end up with nothing. I knew what I was doing." I told the parent, I said, "I'm filling your kid up with so much Torah. What do you think? The society is going to grab half of it. If I don't fill him up to the top, he's going to end up with nothing. Therefore, I have to overfill him. When society is going to start to take its chalek, at least your kid will be left with something. There's a residual. There's something that spits out." "Oh, I didn't think of that." "Oh, you didn't think. First you shamble, then you think." Nonetheless, Rabotai, so you see him over here, in Adrabah, that when we fill our children and ourselves with Torah, haborek en bo mayim. When they threw Yosef into the pit, they said the board was empty. It had no mayim. The Baalei Musar say, but what was in it? Shkimra Shabbat, Chaf Aleph, snakes and scorpions. The Baalei Musar say, the mind is like a boar. Mayim is Torah. The haborek en bo mayim. A person thinks, "I'm not going to have mayim. I'm not going to study Torah." You think that your mind is going to remain a vacuum? You think that it's just going to remain empty? Something else is going to occupy that space. Something else is going to fill. So if you don't fill it with Torah, something, which means, it's not to say, a guy says, "You know what? I don't want my kid to learn Torah, but I don't like the culture either. So Switzerland, Pav, neutral. There's no such thing as neutral. If you're not, something's going to fill the space. That's the science. And then we either fill it with mayim, or you have to now risk the exposure to nahashim v'akrabim. And therefore, Pesach and Shavuot are actually two sides of the same coin. The third cup and the fourth cup are actually represented by Geula Gufani, and then Geula Ruhani. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hanan ben Shammai. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Kol Torah v'zman tzedko. L'Torah v'yadir. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Abe Lincoln thinks he did him a favor. Worst thing he did for him.
Aaron Cohen said that's why he got assassinated.
Exactly. You couldn't say it on the video.
That's right. Ibn Abadi. Section 8.
My question is,